Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how you doing? This is Sana Gordy, and guess what? We got some technical difficulties this evening. Check it out, but we're back and we're better than ever. And this is the Spooky Lou Show. This is Monday nights in Taino Radio. So what's up, Spooky Lou? Are you there?
Always here, brother. Always here. How you doing tonight? How's everyone listening doing tonight?
Well, this is a crazy night. I'm telling you, man, it's a crazy night. I don't know. The switchboard just went nuts. Maybe it's because of the topic tonight. Steph, it's Scary Steph on. Can you hear me?
You know I'm here.
Okay.
Scary Steph. I just want to say something really quick. You know, I want to let people know that I'm listening that. Sometimes, you know, we have technical difficulties, but I want everyone to remember that, you know, we have lives, we work, we all have our daily routines, and sometimes, you know, we do our best to get here on time and have the shows going, but just sometimes life happens. So thank you for sticking with us, even though things happen from time to time. So I just wanted to say that. Go ahead, brother. Continue.
Well, you know, all the shows are archived, so you can always download it. We miss at least 2 minutes of the show in the beginning. But maybe it's because of the topic today. It's all about discussion on Satanism, man. I tell you, they got the crows coming out our way. You know, they always use the symbol of the crow. But guess what? The crows are our friend. So we're online. They couldn't stop us.
Good. I'm glad they didn't. Yeah, you know what? I also want to say this. For anyone that's listening and wants to call in and share their stories, you're always welcome. Call us at 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. The number's on the flyer as well. But, yeah, Lou, like you were just saying, that, you know, satanic cults, that's the topic for tonight. And that's a very scary, very touchy topic. You know, that's one that you don't know can go either here or there because you just don't know. You know, is your neighbor, the person next to you, a satanic member? You know, is your teacher a satanic member? Is the CEO a satanic member? You really don't know. How spooky is that? You don't know what you're dealing with. You as well, Creepy Steph. But one of the things that really freaked me out, Lou, is when our conversation about the satanic stuff. It's not open. It's
you have
not
reached
really
the maximum
there.
Time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message.
You
press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3.
Yo, can you guys hear that?
Yes.
Can you guys hear that?
Are you
mean?
Still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record.
Press whatever. I am still
okay.
Young
I pressed
anyway.
One. Okay, hold on. I think it was Scary State that. Oh, they're trying to take down Scary Seth. Hold on.
Spooky Seth. I don't
Steph,
know.
Wait. Was that your phone?
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Did you hear what I was saying
man.
In the beginning?
You know,
did you hear what I was saying?
Yeah, your neighbor. I think that was the last thing that I heard. Something about your neighbor, and then it was something about a message.
That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Could be a neighbor, could be a teacher, could be the CEO, could be anyone. They're listening, bro. They're listening.
It could be you. Ooh.
But.
Well, they send the crews, and they send some other.
Go ahead, go ahead.
No, they send something else, trying to mess up with the phone lines, leave a message.
Well, I guess. But, you know, but seriously, all jokes aside, you know, it's a topic that's not really out there. It's not really discussed much. No one really brings it up. And it's a hard topic to even discuss, you know, because there's not really too much. I don't think there's enough information out there on it. A lot of people do not believe in it, probably designed that way. Okay.
Right.
And it's probably designed on purpose. It's in your face, but it's not in your face. And even myself, you know, I'm guilty of really not believing or being naive to it till Lou, you shared a story with me that really scared me on a different level and on how real this is, you know. And it's almost like I'm scared to talk about the topic, and I'm not, because you just don't know how powerful. No, I'm serious. You don't know how powerful these people are, or not powerful. You just don't know what you're dealing with, or how crazy, you know. But yes, I mean, I have any of you guys. Well, I know Lou has a really scary. I think it's scary story that he's going to share with us about Satanism and cults, right? But what about you, Spooky Steph? Have you ever came across anything like it? Have you witnessed any cults or come across people that were devil worshippers?
I wouldn't say devil worshippers. Before we even get into that, for the listeners that really don't know what Satanism is, Lou, would you be able to explain it to them, give them a brief underlying idea of what Satanism actually is?
You mean Satan Cody?
Either, Lou.
Well, he's the expert in the subject. Go ahead, explain, Sanako.
Well,
can you explain?
Well, it's, you know, actually I knew some people through the years who were Satan worshipers, you know, and basically it's an ideology, you know, related to basic belief system, even philosophy, similar to Buddhism, but it's all connected to Satan. And what a lot of people, how they explain it to me, it's rooted. There's another term they use, Luciferian. So it's it's a whole system based on materialism, connected to this concept of Satan, you know. And
right.
it's really deep, man. It's really deep.
Right.
Uh huh.
Right, like how we have the Ten Commandments that are supposed to be rooted in goodness, right? Satanism has everything rooted in quite the opposite, where thou shalt not be gluttonous, you know, is not a thing for them. It's indulge in the things that make you happy and stuff like that, right?
Sure. Definitely, man. There's a lot of levels to this. I knew two Satanists in my life, and their whole thing was based on this whole concept of Luciferianism. This whole, you know, rooted in materialism, almost opposite of Christian beliefs. How, you know, rich wealth is not a good thing, you know, but you know, accumulation of wealth, land, and also, you know, not having any what do you call that word? I won't say morality because they have their own morals, but it's definitely, you know, like a belief system.
A concept?
Connected, huh? It's all connected to Lucifer, you know. It's kind of a philosophy. Was that
Luciferianism and Satanism? That's the same thing.
I mean, the people that I know, they always refer to Luciferianism. They said it was Satanist, but they're more like Luciferianism. That's been my experience, you know. You know, face to face with people, they relate to Lucifer as the main source of their, like, I guess, what do they call it? Like, you know how Christians say Jesus the light? Well, for them, like, Lucifer is the light, the word Lucifer. And they see it as more of a positive ideal for them than Jesus. It's and it's rooted in, you know, ancient myths like, you know, Egypt, Rome, the Greeks,
right.
Gnosticism, and so on. But they see it as a good thing, Lucifer, you know, him being cast down from heaven, whatever, you know, dwelling on the earth and so on. They see that as a good thing, you know. But all that other stuff, like the Satanism that we typically know, either through movies, you know, it's always connected to, like, you know, rituals and stuff. But Luciferian is more of a lifestyle away from, like, rituals and stuff like that, you know. So, but that's been my experience. Like I said, I know more Luciferians than, say, quote-unquote Satanists and stuff. What we know as Satanism. But,
well, that's
it's a little confusing, but that's been my only experience face-to-face, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like you said, I think you hit it.
Yeah.
I think you hit it best when you said there's many different levels to it. Because it's like religion, even the Catholic religion, or, you know, you have the Catholic version and then many different sectors of that Catholic version. You know, maybe there's different sectors also as well with Satanism and Luciferians. I've heard both terminologies as well. You know, my first encounter with this, I was a kid, man. I was still in grade school. I went to this girl's birthday party. There were a bunch of kids there, and we were having a conversation because they had these weird shirts on. You know, a little older than you know I was, and they were like, one of the shirts said something like how positive war was, you know, about one of those typical sarcastic shirts, like you get to travel, you get to see people, and then you get to kill them. Something like a message like that. And then we were talking, and they were explaining to me about how they were Satanists. And I was trying to understand what that meant, and I remember the guy explained it to me like this. He said, you know how you see God? You probably picture him as an old man with a beard, and he has all wisdom. He's like, no difference, except he's the devil, and we worship the devil. That's how he explained it to me. But those are children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scary part is when you talk about different levels, you know, when you graduate or you get in deep, I mean, what's the proper word that I'm looking here for? I mean, does it get deadly? Does it get crazy? Can it take a twist for the worse? Because we know what the devil, what we're taught what the devil stands, what he stands for. That was a question.
Well,
but,
you know what's interesting? No, I think that's a good question. But listen, I know that I don't know, Stephanie, you want to answer it? Because I had another point. But
Go with the point.
Yeah.
No, I forgot to mention earlier about Anton LaVey. He's the one that in 1966, the year I was born, actually a month after I was born. Huh?
I've heard of
him. The Church of Satan. Yeah, he founded the Church of Satan and the Satanic Bible. And it's funny because you could go on YouTube and you can see a great interview on him. You know, it was on TV. He's talking about the Church of Satan, and he was getting ripped on TV. Like, oh my God, they were like dissing him. Oh, so you're this and you're that, you know? And he kept his cool. He was actually nicer than the host, which I can't recall his name. But he was like mad cool. I feel bad for the guy because he was getting ripped. Like, oh, so you worship Satan and this and that. So basically, he's just saying, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. You know, I see more of the Satan as an archetype that represents pride, individualism, enlightenment, you know. And basically, he's like keeping his cool, you know. I thought that was amazing that he kept his cool and stuff. Now, I don't condone the Church of Satan or his teachings on Tom LaVey, but I thought that what he was trying to say was something that was like not your stereotypical understanding of the Church of Satan, you know.
Is he still alive?
So, no, he died in 97. He died. And then in 2001, was a high priest took the position, you know. They're actually located in Hell's Kitchen, Manhattan, New York City. That's where you're from, right, Boo?
Yeah, really? They're from, was that from my neighborhood?
Yeah, so it's kind of cool they changed their headquarters, right? To, I mean, the headquarters is in Poughkeepsie, though, I should say.
Good.
But it did move to Hell's Kitchen, and now it's in Poughkeepsie. It moved to Hell's Kitchen, but now it's in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, you know.
But it did go to Hell's Kitchen.
I got my hands one time on one of the Bibles. I remember I lived in Queens for a minute, and this old lady died. Sweet old lady, and they were throwing all her stuff out. So I remember there was a bunch of books that they threw out. I grabbed one of the books. It was black, looked like a Bible. I had it with me, and then one day I decided to read it, and I was confused about what I was reading. And I was like, "This is a Bible, but this isn't the Bible that I know." And it was a demonic Bible. I didn't know that existed until I found it. So when I saw that, it was a demonic Bible. You know how you have a Bible that we read, or you may have read, or however you grew up.
Right.
As a Catholic.
The name, demonic Bible. It has me. I don't know. It's like, wait, hold on. What was in the book?
What was in the book?
Right? Like there were renditions of the creation stories, and you know, all of the stories that we have in the Bible. And it was just their own versions of it. You say demonic, and I'm just like, well, wait, what's in it?
No, and you're right. That's exactly what it was. It was
really?
Versions of yeah, that's exactly what it was when I was reading it. And I'll be honest, I got scared, and I was driving down the highway. I was looking at the book, looking at the highway. I looked at the book, opened my window, and I threw it out the highway. I was like, I don't need this. I don't want this bed. You know, juju all around me. I don't know what this is about, but I started reading it, and it was stories. The same way we had the creation story. It was a creation story told from a demonic point of view or something. It was the most weirdest thing. And I got scared, and I was like, I'm getting rid of this. Just threw it out. Because I don't like messing with the subject. I don't like dealing with it. I don't like talking about it. It really bothers me because of my own personal experiences. You know,
right.
You know, I won't even watch The Exorcist. I've never watched The Exorcist. I don't like movies where any of that stuff. And it's funny.
Really?
Yeah, I've never watched it. I'm hardcore to the paranormal, but when it comes to that, that is the one thing I do not touch. And we can talk about it. I guess it's a good time to talk about it. You know, I really felt that I have had contact with these demonic beings, and I've had issues with it before. And that's why I feel like I know how it works, and I don't like to mess with it because it is something that's powerful. I don't care who tells me, oh, yeah, whatever, because I've met people that have told me, oh, you know, I'm not scared of demons. I'll go up to a demon. I've done hauntings. I've done investigations, step right up to them. And I'm looking at these people like, yeah, okay, right, sure. I know how these things work. I believe how they work because – do you remember, these things aren't been then if they're real, they're not human. They've been around for thousands or who knows for years. You know, these things are smart. And I don't believe these things attack. They don't attack you head on. They attack you when you least expect it, when you're at your worst, when you're going through real down times.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're vulnerable. And, you know, so it's for me, I think that's been my experience. And when you dabble in it, when you mess with it, when you mess with things you don't know, you bring it upon yourself. So this, for me, is a touchy subject. So I don't like really discussing it or touching it. And then I got even more scared with what Lou shared with me. But we'll get to that in a moment because I want to share my story very quickly, right? The reason why I say you don't know, if it could be anyone that you know. I had a job one time. And I made a comment. I'm not going to say who or what where, right? But I had this job, and there was this guy sitting next to me. We were both fairly new. He was more new than I were. And he wasn't a friendly guy. And I remember we were just having a conversation, and I made a comment about a specific group. And when I made that comment, he questioned me. Well, what do I know? I shouldn't be speaking about things if I don't know about it. And I was like, well, why does that bother you? Like, are you part of that group? And he said, yeah, actually I am. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay. Like, this is for real? He's like, yeah, I'm being for real. I was like, oh, okay. We got really cool. We became pretty good friends. It's just crazy how we became really good friends. And he was sharing stories with me that I know he shouldn't have shared. So that's why I'm going to be vague with what he shared with me. But he was explaining to me that within these groups, they have these power groups, these groups that are real powerful, and there's major money and control. And people within the group do not know about these other people that exist, but they influence a lot. And he was telling me he was trying to find those people to become one of them because that's where the money was at. And he told me he didn't care. Like, he would do what it takes because they'll do what it takes to get power and control. And he was sharing stuff with me that really scared me. And the thing is that I don't really want to go into detail, but he showed me some stuff that I was kind of blown away. I'm like, okay, I think there's some truth to what he's telling me. You know, and he was telling me things like, you know, these people, they take kids' bloods and they inject it into themselves or something like that because it rejuvenates. Yeah, I've heard this. He told me this years ago when it happened. I've never heard of that. I heard about that years later. I think I saw a show with the Kardashians with blood or something on their face, and it reminded me of that conversation. But it was scary because here's a guy that I'm sitting right next to, normal guy, educated. You know, you'd see this guy in a suit. He's a great guy. But behind the scenes, you don't know. He even shared a term with me that was powerful. I don't want to share the term because I heard this group uses it a lot, but it scared me when I heard it, and I was like, wow. And another reason why I don't want to speak much is because I'm not that knowledgeable, so I can't. But after speaking with Lou and Lou sharing his story with me kind of made me think, wow, we really don't know how powerful these groups are. And I'm sure, Spook, I don't know if Lou shared his story with you, but he's going to share it with all of us tonight.
Well, I do want to state that. Hello? It's funny because I think the Church of Satan is very... Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Speak. No, I'm saying that I wanted to say this before, the Church of Satan, I believe, just like the Christian Church, there's different sectors, you know, different... levels of it, from Orthodox, that's my interpretation, Orthodox, liberal, and so on. You know what I mean? But they definitely don't espouse a belief in Satan, like in the Hebrew scriptures, or in the Christian sense. For example, Satan is not a deity, you know, and that's what the Church of Satan teaches, you know. So that being said, the people... I mean, people that was referred to as Satanists, I was introduced to them through their actions, not really face-to-face, but through their actions, whoever these people were. I was working at a homeless shelter in Wisconsin, and, you know, the Midwest has a lot of these issues going on with these satanic rituals.
How long ago was this?
This is in the early 90s. Early 90s. I don't want to give too many details just to protect the victims, you know. But I want to get too deep into it on the details. But basically, it was a homeless shelter, and I was working that night shift. And there was a little young girl. She was very young. And again, I'm not gonna go too much into details. But she was masturbating in the common area, the living room, and there were different families there.
Let me ask you this. Like, was it a child or old enough to know, like, between right and wrong?
I would say she was in the first grade, first grader. You know?
Okay.
I won't give the exact age.
Okay.
But, yeah, like first grade.
No, that's fine.
Kindergarten, first grade. Yes.
So it was a child.
So, yeah, so someone reported it to me. She was with her mother, who was very young, maybe in her late 20s, I won't say. And then what happened was basically I had to make a report. You know, I interviewed the child, I interviewed the mom and stuff. So I made a report, and it was addressed quickly. And to make a long story short, the city got involved, the sheriff got involved, and there was a satanic.
But why?
Allegedly, it was satanic.
But wait, hold on.
Huh?
You just jumped into everything. Hold on. You got to make it a little short because you got to understand what happened. Why would anyone get involved? So you make a report, right? You work with children, and did she give you an indication that something was wrong? Did it give you an did something trigger you to say, wait a minute, something's not right with this child?
Oh yeah, usually a normal first grader will not be masturbating in front of everyone, you know,
in front of a lot of people. Oh,
yeah, it's a family homeless shelter. So
okay, so
she's masturbating like it was, you know, it was normal.
Okay.
So
and then. Okay. So okay. Well, my God. Go ahead.
No, so I just, you know, I interviewed the mother. I dressed it, but I did it a certain way, not to scare her away, so she'll run away. You know what I mean? So
the child.
So that's what got. So that was my goal, was to keep them there, not by force, but at least, you know, yeah, everything's cool. Yeah, don't worry, so I can get some officials in there. You know what I mean? Like, I had to stall for some time.
So that's the thing. What made you align the officials? The fact that she did it publicly in front of other kids? That's like, is that a typical?
Yeah, in front of adults. So, yeah, it was adults. There were children there. You know, that's just
Okay, so
people were scared by that.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, people were scared by that. They were like, what the hell is this going on? You know, what's going on? Uh-huh. Like, what? So, you know, first thing I thought was, you know, definitely it was a symptom of sexual abuse, you know.
Oh, it is.
So what happened was, young children who masturbate like that in public, usually the symptom of, you know, sexual abuse. So I try to stall as much as I can and not get her scared until the authorities showed up, you know, the manager of the house and police.
But
and
I have
so
a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you started speaking to the mom, did the mom indicate as well something was wrong, or was the mom normal, or was the mom like, you know, seeing what she
had
issues
herself? Mom was normal. Yeah, mom was normal.
Okay.
So I was following her lead, you know. I was following her lead. She wasn't suspicious or anything.
Got it. So no red flags came up when you spoke to the mom.
No, it was not. You know, again, my stance was I don't want to scare her off, you know. So,
okay, gotcha.
I wasn't interrogating her or anything like that. I was just supporting her emotionally. And because she knew people were criticizing it, but she started, like, you know, oh, shit, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, she was a little annoyed. So what happened was basically the manager showed up. Everyone showed up. So they did an investigation, you know. And what they found out was that this the mom has been since childhood in a satanic cult, you know, satanic cult. And she was bearing children for the satanic cult for rituals. And then the young girl that was masturbating, she was a product. She was a child. She gave birth to that. She just couldn't take it anymore, so she just wanted to leave. So she ran away with the little girl, you know. I never got into the story why at that particular time she wanted to leave. But what I found out later on was, because, you know, when you're a mandated reporter, you know, you get, you know, you can request information about the case, you know, what was the outcome, whatever. So basically with her information, they were able to make some arrests and stuff like that, so, which was great.
Oh, they
you know?
Did?
So, yeah, so I was very happy about that. And also, you know, this little girl was saved, you know, this mom was saved. So I think they also went into hiding and stuff like that. So it was a high profile case. Let's put it like that. So that's why I can't get really into it, you know. But that was my first experience of like is it the church is saying, is it a satanic cult? But the problem I mean, what I understood is there's a serious problem out there with people who use children, who use women sexually, you know, and who, you know, perform these sexual acts as ritual. You know, as
allegedly,
ritual.
Right? This is what's going on. Is what people.
Well,
say.
According to this case.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
Was,
this specific
you know,
case.
She was an eyewitness to all this. And, you know, now there was some other stuff that was, I don't want to get into that, you know, but this, it was gruesome. So I think the whole, for me, what I was thinking was the whole problem of evil, you know, whatever word you want to use, you know, destructive acts or crimes of ritual crimes or, you know, Christians like using the word evil, you know, but
okay.
it's something that is a reality out there, that there are people out there. Maybe they want to call themselves Satanists or they do these rituals, but there are people out there who will kidnap your child, you know, who will do certain things to keep, you know, especially women, young girls, you know, to keep, you know, I don't know. It's just horrible, man, the stuff that I learned from that one case, you know. Like, you know, they will do some awful things. That's why I'm telling people out there, you have to watch out for your daughters. You have to watch out for the women. You know, this is something that's out there, you know.
That's all I have to say on that one.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever came across a case like that again?
You know, it's funny. Once in a while, I'll do some research on it to see what's going on in the Midwest. It's still very rampant. It's strong. It's very strong still. You know, missing children and so on, and you know, connected to satanic rituals. Again, they say satanic, but you know, there's so many levels of that. But all I know is that there's definitely people doing stuff ritually to satisfy their sexual desires, or you know, they could be psychopaths. I don't know. So if there's any Satanists out there listening, you know, I encourage you to call, you know, get some insights. But it's definitely not a crime being performed under the word of Satan, you know. There's a lot of crimes out there. And this is a reality. I want people to understand this. This is a reality, you know, under the name of Satan. You know, these rituals are very, very strong. You know, again, there's many levels, you know. This from Anton LaVey, who says that it's a philosophy, you know, it's a belief system rooted on a concept of Satan as a deity for more of a material kind of thing. And then you got the other extreme of people who want to kidnap children, especially females, and do stuff sexually to them. That's another level right there. I just want to warn people out there. This is real stuff, man, you know.
It's scary to even think that, you know. Why do you think that they had this girl breeding children?
Oh, it's part of the rituals, you know. It keeps the rituals. It's part of their rituals. They need children to bear the children. They need children, like, you know, to the age of 12, 13, you know, when they get their menstrual cycle, once they can bear children, you know, those children are used for rituals. You know, infants and so on. I want to get a bunch of the details on that one, but it's definitely that's real,
gotcha.
Man. It's real. It's tough. So I don't know who these people are. They're saying that, you know, I don't say that Satanists, but there's definitely people are out there doing so. I know Australia, if you go on YouTube, Australia broke a big story on 60 Minutes Australia about some satanic rituals that went on there, some gruesome stuff that was going on. And they had some survivors that got into detail of what's going on, similar to what I heard. So that's another hint. You guys can look up 60 Minutes Australia. They have a huge problem on, you know, satanic rituals.
So,
No,
go ahead.
No, again, you know, sexual pleasure and so on, that could be under the umbrella of materialism, you know, the material pleasure. So part of it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And but it's so weird because you don't hear about people getting arrested for those kinds of crimes, you know. You don't hear, oh, man gets arrested for a satanic cult or doing satanic rituals, you know, where they're committing crimes. You just don't hear about that stuff. Do you think that people do get arrested for committing those kinds of crimes and it's just not reported?
Well, they're very, from my opinion, they're very organized. It's very secretive, you know, because these are crimes. So they're very secretive. But sometimes, you know, these victims will get away. They will get away. And it's when they do speak, it's a very, very powerful stories. So I don't know, man. This is tough stuff, but I know there's stuff going on. This is a whole different realm from, as LeFay will call, witches workshops. You know.
Well, LeFay's original idea, right? It wasn't supposed to be about being quote unquote evil or committing crimes in Satan's name. The people who, there are some people who've committed to Satanism and the ideas of the Church of Satan, and they've done their own things as far as rituals. There was, I don't know much about the case. I just know a little bit of the information regarding the name. There was a guy called the Witch Doctor, right? And he was a Satanist. He was introduced to the information of the Church of Satan. He was, you know, privy to the information, the Satanic Bible, to LeFay's teachings, because that's basically what they were, and the quote-unquote religion, because some of them really do consider it to be a religion. I believe they're actually recognized as religious, a religious institution. But the Witch Doctor, he quote-unquote performed magic, right? And the magic that he formed required him to have body parts from people. So he went around murdering people, and I think he murdered about 20 to 25 people, and those murders were basically sacrifices in the name of Satan so that he was able to commit to these quote-unquote spiritual rituals in Satan's name. From what I was told, the idea of Satanism is there is no good or bad magic. There is no black or white magic. It's like lesser magic and then higher magic. That's it. So everybody is able to be taught some form of quote-unquote magic, but the magic is really a psychosocial manipulation. So you learn how to read these people. You learn how to understand them and be able to manipulate the way that they respond and react to what you want so that they can get what they need out of you. And then there's the higher magic, or the opposite side of the spectrum, where that's where they actually do rituals. And that's where, you know, sometimes they require blood, or in the movies, it's, you know, they need a virgin sacrifice and stuff like that. That's the other spectrum of how they do their quote-unquote magic. But the lesser magic is really psychosocial. It's them understanding how the human mind works and manipulating them. But the murders themselves, according to LeFay, that wasn't really part of what they were about, what they stood on. Like, they have satanic statements, I think 9 satanic statements. They have verses that they quote. They have satanic scriptures and, you know, things of that nature. But none of them really say, you know, we're rooted in this, or we believe in this, or we do that. A lot of people have come into Satanism and created their own types of situations or realms of spirituality, I guess you could say, where they just do what they think is going to make Satan happen.
Which is what happens with all kinds of ideology, like with religion.
Exactly.
You know, everyone has their version. What happened?
That's how Christianity started. When Christianity first started, when Pope Urban II was around, right, there were different books. So every church had their own sets of books from the Bible. So some people were considered to be, you know, Pentecostal. Some were considered to be Catholics, right? One was considered to be heresy. The other one wasn't until Pope Urban II came around and he started preaching the gospel. And then he told everybody, you know, now everybody got to be Catholic. Everybody that's not Catholic are, you know, heretics. And then they, you know, made that the faith of the area. But those small groups of churches that only had portions or pieces of the Bible, they created their own sectors of Christianity. So, I mean, it makes sense if that's how Christianity is starting or developing, that other religions, because like I said, Satanism is considered, the churches, Satan is considered to be an actual religion. They're taken seriously, credibly, you know, they're considered credible religious scholars in some aspects. So is the Satanic Temple.
But
it makes sense.
But there's also cults out there that probably not have no affiliation with that. As a matter of fact, the good thing is here, if you don't mind, right, I just want to say, Steph, we also have an expert in this kind of, with cults and different kinds of groups out there.
We have Renee on the line.
Yes, we do, Renee.
Freaking
Renee.
I was hoping Renee would call tonight.
I have.
From the streets of New York. I hear the bathroom in the background.
Yeah.
How you doing, Renee?
I'm good, brother. I'm having trouble with these trains, man. It's ridiculous. And I was trying to, you know, I got to call an Uber now. I was trying to, like, not to, you know. It's ridiculous, man. But anyways, I know you guys were talking about Satanism and Luciferianism and stuff like that. They are kind of the same, but they're two different gods, right? This is misconception.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a misconception when you watch, like, Ghost Adventures, and they don't know what they're talking about in Ghost Adventures. You know, usually they say, oh, it's the three knocks because it's the mock and the Trinity. It's kind of ridiculous claims. The thing is that the Satanism is not really something that's, like, on a legit physical kind of being, you know what I mean? Because usually Satan in Greek, it comes from the Hebrew Satan. But did you know that in Greek, the word know thyself is Satan? Did you know that? Meaning,
no, what does that mean?
So know thyself, meaning it's the Greek philosophical term, meaning to know yourself from within.
Oh, no,
from within. And it's the Greek for Satan. And what it is that it's difficult for us to really know ourselves, our true selves. Because usually there's no such thing as a devil or a Lucifer or anything in that term. Esoterically, in a deep occult way, and besides that, the word occult, it comes from the Spanish. It means to hide. Oculto, when you're looking for something, it means to hide. And it comes from the Greek oculus, which means eyes. So it's something that's hidden, on the eyesight that you cannot see.
Wow, that's deep.
You see?
That is deep.
Yeah.
That is deep.
Not in the magical things like that. So there's a lot of misconceptions about occult. Because when people hear occult, they go, oh, my God, it's black magic. That's false. Now, the true image that you see today as the devil, you see him in tarot cards. I've been doing tarot for a long time. Now, the tarot cards that people have been doing, it's not really the true tarot cards. Okay? So
okay.
If you see all these people that do them online and they're paying for money, they are charlatans. You know, tarot was never used for a monetary system. It was
correct.
It was used for meditational purposes.
Okay.
Now, the devil card doesn't mean something in terms of like the devil was like a Satan. Actually, that card, Satan was a symbol for the planet Saturn. You see, Satan, Saturn.
Okay.
Because Saturn, so the alchemist back in those times, philosophically, was a symbol for lead. It was the black color, lead. And if you notice, the Jews, they wear black, and Sabbath is on Saturn Day. You see what I'm saying? They worship Saturn.
Oh.
Saturn Day. You see?
Okay.
So it's not that in the birth, in that term, it just means that Saturn, meaning the darkness, not in a bad way, doesn't mean that it's bad. Because sometimes we think in terms that it's darkness is bad. In fact, we can learn from darkness. Darkness and light is the same. In fact, the only difference between light and darkness is that light, darkness is just an absence of light. That's all it is.
Correct.
It's the yin and the yang. You see? So
correct.
When you look at those types of things, it doesn't really mean anything in terms of, like, bad. So that's why I'm not really afraid of these people who call themselves Satanists or whatever. Now, the devil
correct.
Part is a symbol for an androgynous being. If you notice, you're going to notice that the devil card has a man boob and a woman boob. And his hand is up and down, right? His hand is up and down.
That's right.
Right. What that means is, as in earth as it is in heaven, as above, so below. Biblically, you notice that as on earth as it is in heaven. You know? So,
okay.
So the two people in front of that card, they chained up. What that means is means bondage. They bond to something. They can't let go of something. That's all
metaphor
it is.
And internally. That's all it is. Bondage card.
Exactly. Now, if you want to go into the Lucifer perspective, the devil in the heaven and hell, it represents the human body. Because the lower part of the body has always been the term for hell. Because that's where all the temptation lies. From the stomach
right.
to the sexual organs. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Right?
It's
that's
true.
Where all the temptation lies. Why you think the Sphinx in Egypt is half animal, half man? Because the bottom part of man is animalistic. From the stomach to the sexual organs. The word hell comes from the word heel, the bottom of your heel, right?
Okay.
See? And the word heaven comes from heaved up or head, from the head. That's what it is. It represents the human body.
Wow. The way you broke it down, that's pretty.
It represents the
pretty
human body. Yeah.
Okay.
Lucifer
okay.
is always associated with Mars, too, just to put you that. Mars is considered the god of war. It's the red planet. And the red
okay.
planet is associated with iron. And what is iron? Blood. Right? Blood. The
that's
blood
true.
Is made out of iron. But that's what exactly what those terms mean. Like, you look at Ghost Adventures, you go, oh, look, the sign of the pentagram. Sign of the pentagram doesn't mean anything negative. To the Pythagoreans,
cool.
to the Gnostics, the sign of the pentagram was a sign of healing. Actually,
okay.
it was actually the sign for Christ. Because if you open your arms and your legs are separate, don't you think you create a pentagram?
Wait, if you open your arms and your legs?
Yeah. The venturi in man. The venturi in man.
So that's what the sign really is. The symbol is, okay.
Yeah, so now... Now, if you want to think of the devil worldwide, if you turn the pentagram to the corner, it looks like a devil's horn. Doesn't mean anything negative either. What it means is the pentagram to the side looks like the devil's face. It means the physical over the spiritual. The difference is man has to turn that to turn spiritual over the physical, because usually it's the physical, the materialistic world that is the negative sense or hell-wise.
I like how you
now,
break it down because in every sense, it's what it is. It's reminding us as human beings of our own flaws. And
exactly
that's
what it
internal the demons really are coming out. And
it's the demons within you. It's the demons
that
within
is,
you.
Yeah. That is
one
very,
of the great philosophers, he says that out of all the five senses, remember there's five senses, why do you think the five pentagram resembles? It resembles the five senses and the five elements.
Really?
Right? Yes.
Okay.
Now, out of all the three, this is what he says, two are the most dangerous. And you know what it is?
No.
Taste and feel.
Why?
Where do you think that goes to?
Taste
and feel. Taste, overeating, drinking, feel,
oversexing. Yeah. Overset, I figured, okay.
Those are the most lustful things you can ever do that men overindulge. Think about that.
It's true. It is very true.
Right? Because
war.
You overeat. Exactly. Because those are the reasons of the temptations. The stomach, the overeating, and the sexual.
That's right. That's pretty crazy. I love the way you put it, because from that perspective, you take that approach, it's not as scary, and it makes us reflect on ourselves, and it makes it easier to talk to. I really like the way you broke it down. But let me ask you this, Renee, because all honest, you know, you are an expert in this. What about cults? What about like secret groups out there that incorporate this? Like Luke, you know, said earlier, where there was an investigation and they found that there was these people, you know, committing these crimes. What are your thoughts on that? Like, have you ever come across that? Do you believe it?
No, I don't. There are those types of organizations. They don't really. You got those people that create these organizations because they don't know what the hell they're doing. A great example is that there's a lot of conspiracy theories that Freemasons worship devil worshippers, right?
Okay.
Because you look at it and you're going to see a man riding a goat. So right away they think, oh, these guys, you know what that symbolizes?
No, I didn't even know
the
that.
Man,
what's it called?
Yeah.
Riding
a goat, yeah. What it means
riding a
is
goat.
Control.
Okay.
Yeah, controlling your animalistic behaviors.
Mm.
That's all it's nothing to do with goats.
Oh.
So then there's this organization that they'd be like, oh, these guys are devil worshippers and nothing. I give you a great example. I know a friend of mine, right? I have a friend, he's a Freemason, right? You know what he does?
Okay.
He does Luciferian stuff. So
he does.
People go
okay.
because he's a because he's a Freemason, they look at him doing it, they go, oh, this is what all Freemasons do. It's not true. He does that only for him because it's something that he just that's a full hobby. That's his thing. You see what I'm saying?
Got it.
You see? So there's a lot of misconceptions about these things. And the truth is that people fear what they don't understand.
It's true.
Just like back in those, right? It's like back in the times, you know, the Bible doesn't believe in astrology. They think the astrology is devil worship. Tarot is devil worship.
Right.
But if you look
that's
at the
right.
word astrology in Latin, it comes from astro logos. Astro means light. And logos means word. So light is God, meaning the word of God. So it is.
Really?
Right? Yeah, that's what it is. Because it's the stars, it's the system, it's the cosmos.
Ooh, this is a deep knowledge, Renee. Get out of here. That's pretty interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because people fear what they don't understand. You know? So they know they only go what other second sources do. They only read from other people. Like you gotta go to other avenues. You can't believe everybody. You gotta take everything with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? And ignorance is very dangerous, you know, and that's why religion and everything kind of destroyed a lot of these things.
Absolutely. No. And that was my next question to you. You know, do you believe that it was the church that spun, you know, this Luciferian in that manner to give it a bad light? You know, why do you think, okay, so you think it was the church specifically attacking these beliefs?
Yes, because now we're going to go back more, a little bit more to the Templar system now, right?
I got to
agree
with Renee.
Yeah, so
agree
Templar
with what?
System, they,
the, it,
agree
the,
with what?
The church is a really big contributor to this in every capacity because of the way they persecuted people when they didn't align with their views.
You just said something very beautifully. She just said it. She hit the that's it, because they persecuted a lot of people who didn't agree with their. And you know what they call that in their terms? Heresy.
What?
Heretics. heretics.
See, that's exactly what I told you before, because when they first started building the Bible, or when they first started building religion in general, that's exactly what happened when Pope Urban II wanted to declare Catholicism as the religion instead of Protestantism. Everybody who practiced Protestant was considered to be a heretic. They were killed. They were murdered. They were taken, you know, away. So people had to use the books that they had, because, like I said, every section of the areas in that realm, right, they had different versions of their good book, of their Bible.
Exactly.
So they had to now practice and collectively pray in private, in secrecy, because they would be seen as heretics, and they would be killed, and they would be murdered, because Pope Urban II said so. And that was it.
Yep, she is 100% correct. And, you know, if you go back to the Templars, what happened was that the Templars used to work for them, but they were the first bankers, too. You know that, right? They were the first bankers.
Right.
That I did know.
Yeah, they had the first banking system. So the Templars, in their way, the church, they pretty much didn't wipe them out. They killed them and made false allegations that they were doing homosexual acts, worshipping devils, spitting on the cross, and some kind of idol. And that idol was like a skull or something like that, you know, and then they burned them. They took Jack de Molay to burn them on a cross. And imagine this, okay? Because a friend of mine said, yeah, but they admitted. I'm going to tell you why they admitted right now. And this is a proven fact that there was a document that was found in 2018 in the Vatican that the church did make those stories up. They did make that up to put them to wipe them out. What happened was, imagine being jailed, right, for 7 years and being tortured, and then your foot being burned on fire to the bone, and then thrown back in the cage to admit something you've never done.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they
tortured.
Did.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course you're going to be like, yes, I've. Yeah, of course you're going to be like, for 7 years, you're going to be like, yes, I've done it. I've done it, yes. Yes, you're right. But they still wipe
mm-hmm.
them out.
They count our misery. Then that's
mm-hmm.
it. They
that was
easier
it.
Way. They would kill themselves as well. A lot of the Templars ended up killing one another in mercy killing when they were jailed and they were forced to stay there and be tortured.
Yeah,
so,
and then Jack de Molay.
So hold on. I got a few questions about this now, because we're now this. It's so crazy how this is going on. It dates all the way back to that era, right? So pretty much the Templars were a private army for the church, and the church itself turned their backs and destroyed this private army that used to work for them. Number one, why? And number two, who was that person? You keep saying the name. I never heard that name. I don't know who that person is.
Okay, so just to correct you, they were called warrior monks.
They were called
religious warrior monks.
Okay. Like the Buddhist monks that were doing the kung fu, they were the equivalent.
Exactly.
Okay.
They were the equivalent.
Okay.
So they were the protectors of the church of Christianity. So the reason I know this, because I am a Templar myself. So the thing is this, Jack de Molay, he was in the cross, they burned him. He was the last grandmaster, supposedly, but he wasn't. On that day he was getting burned, did you know it was Prince Philip and Key Pope?
Wait, who is this person? Who is, before you break it down,
Jack,
who is this person?
Jack de Molay? Jack de Molay
yes.
was the grandmaster of all the Templars.
Oh.
Yes, he was the grandmaster. Okay.
Okay.
He was the Grand Master. So he was on a cross. They burned him. And when they burned him, he told the Pope and he told the Prince Philip of France, you guys are not going to live long. And guess what happened? Actually, he said, you're going to die. You're going to get sick. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, and this is where Friday the 13th comes, because they died on Friday the 13th. This is the whole myth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is Friday the 13th.
That's my birthday, by the way. I mean, it was a 13th. But go ahead.
Yeah, so this was on the myth about Friday the 13th. You know?
Wow.
So now the Templars, they get almost wiped out, but they didn't. What happened is they went underground. They went to Portugal. Because remember, supposedly the Templars hold the secrets of the Holy Grail. right?
Correct.
Right, and the seekers of Jesus' divinity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? They went to Portugal, they changed their name to Knights of Christ. Now, the Knights of Christ, so Portugal, you get the word Portugal because it comes from the word Portugal, Portugal, right? And they go there, and then they go to Scotland. In Scotland, they get, and then those Scotland Templars become Freemasons later on, and other things, Rosicrucians, whatever. Now, this is the thing that's interesting, that not most people know this. Columbus's father-in-law was part of the Knights of Christ from Portugal. Supposedly, that's how Columbus obtained a secret map of the Caribbean. And what happened was he took that map from his stepfather or father-in-law, and he traveled up to the Caribbean because apparently the Templars came to the Americas way before the conquistadors.
Mm-hmm. And Nova Scotia, they spent
exactly. Yeah. Nova Scotia.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They went to
and
Nova
she knows
Scotia.
Her stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allegedly, Templars went to Oak Island. And, buried treasure over there. And then they continued to go through that region. But they made it to North America. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this,
Renee.
Yeah. First of all, please enlighten us. Why won't they find anything? That's interesting. Why?
Oh, okay. Well, because they never had any type of. You see, one of the discrepancies is that they found treasures that when they were stationed in Israel, they went to King Solomon's temple, and they found King Solomon's right. But the secret. Mm-hmm. The true temple is not a real temple. The Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail that Jesus drank from.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. There was no such thing of that. Because the true temple that they found, you see, Solomon's, there's no evidence that Solomon's temple exists. Because Solomon's temple is the human body. It comes from soul of man temple. You see? Solomon, soul of man. Right? Solomon, right? Soul of man.
Okay.
So the temple has always been the human. It's always been the human body, always. So the true treasure is within you. The Ark of the Covenant is within you. Okay.
Wow.
The biblical story of heaven and hell is all about the human body. It's within you. You see? It's just that these stories are allegories, but what happens is they are metamorphosed, and only to certain individuals who were initiated. Into certain mystery schools and certain things, understood these metamorphical lessons and unlocked them to find your true self. Because the key of every living human being on this planet is to find your true self. This is what the story of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, Joseph and Mary, because it's the story about the soul and the spirit, male and the female. The unison between both can be combined in one. Right? You know, so the story of Isis and Osiris are both the same. It's the soul and the spirit.
Yeah, I remember that. As a matter of fact, we discussed that a long time ago, because I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's what the Gnostics would call the Sophia, wisdom. The Sophia, which the Gnostics say that the Savior and the soul. This is Sophia. Hard to explain, but anyway, it's a story between the soul and the spirit. It becomes one, unison.
So I have a question. Going back to the Templars, do you think at that time when the Templars came here, do you think some settled here? Do you think a lot of them just stayed in the Americas and never went back?
Well, there is some. Supposedly, there's a man who I've met, his name is Scott Walter. He found that in Canada. But they went to Canada, and he encountered some natives there, and the natives knew about them. In fact, the natives called them their brothers, because there are certain rituals that they do, and is very similar to how the Templars used to do, certain handshakes.
Really?
Yeah, and they knew about them. You know, in Boston, there is a thing, and I'm supposed to be visiting it soon, but it's in Worcester. Massachusetts is where, there's a, it's called the Worcester Knight. And he is protected by Templars because there's a stone of a knight with a sword embedded in the rock that predates Columbus.
You know, I've heard of that. I've heard, so it
yeah.
is true then.
Right. I mean, there is some speculation, but yeah. I mean, you know, that's one of them. You know,
but it's hidden. It's secret.
It's secret. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, got you. But I've heard of that. You know, I've heard of people mentioning that as well in Massachusetts. And I think the native tribe you're talking about is the Mi'kmaqs, right? The Mi'kmaqs are the ones that do certain things.
In Canada, right.
In Canada, right? Yeah,
Right.
Because I've heard of that as well. You know, but I've always been fascinated. So we know about the Templars. So were there other groups that were similar to the Templars that existed as well?
Yes, but now... Well, there were other groups, perhaps. Yes, there were before the Greeks. In the Greek system, you have something called the Eleusinian Mysteries, the Batchis Mysteries, which all derive from the Egyptian mysteries. But they didn't have a name, like a so-called, like Freemasons today. That later on changed into Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, and all these things later on. You know what I mean? But the oldest was something called the Rosicrucians. Those people were one of the founding and created the symbol of the Freemasonry. And their system is basically mystical meditation using certain alchemy, astrology, and all these types of things. So that group did exist. They were very close to the Templars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much what's happening is there are different cults, there's different groups, associations that are out there. In reality, they practice these kind of teachings, but for the normal folks that are not exposed to this, it's almost as if the church makes you think this is all evil. But in reality, when you educate yourself, it's not about being evil. It's digging deep, and you realize it's really just a connection between, like you said, yin and yang, and how it correlates with humankind and ourselves and our feelings, right? How we carry ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you know at one time the church was considered a mystery school? A mystery school, meaning a secret organization, because it used to be. The original thing was something called Gnosticism, the Gnostics. You know what I mean? And these people, you know, the church do their own, you know, the church do rituals, right? You have to do your communion. You got to get baptized.
Right.
And they say, confirmation. Oh, drinking blood is bad, but they do the wine, right? It's supposed to be the blood of Christ, right? Which doesn't make any sense, right? Eating the flesh.
Not that I want to say maybe four to 6 weeks ago when we were talking about angels and stuff like that, and I had asked on a study. I'm just like, you know, when it comes down to it was cannibalism we were talking about. I'm just like, so technically, right? And it was a whole big thing where I was just like, you know, I know I'm going to get some backlash about it. Technically, then, isn't it cannibalistic idealism? Because we consume the body and the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then, you know, it was just like, oh, you know, Seth, hold on now, calm down. But the reality of it is, it's rooted in a lot of those kind of ideals. Just Christianity in general is hypocritical in a lot of things, where they'll say, don't do this, and they mirror it in a different way, or they conceptualize it in another way where they can defend it in a way that makes it sound lesser, you know, less evil than what they're saying on the opposite end of the spectrum. So when you hear Christians or people who don't believe in Satanism, right, and they say that the rituals in Satanism consist of, you know, consuming the blood, human sacrifice, eating flesh, blah, 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 what do we do, or what are the motions in Christianity when it comes down to having to atone for your sins? You're consuming the blood. You're first you're atoning. You're praying. You're conducting ceremonies. part of your ceremony then becomes the blood of Jesus and the body of, you know, the body of Christ. So
exactly.
In what way, shape, form, and fashion is one metaphorically correct and one physically incorrect? You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
That in Satanism, they're not using it metaphorically at the same time. And what was done instead is it's been painted in this idea, in this view, that it's actual blood. You know, it's actually this, it's actually that, opposed to what we do inside of the church.
You're 100% correct. And, you know, not let me reiterate real quick just to make sure that what I'm saying is that the true teachings of Christianity weren't made for the church. It was the true teachings of it has been misused and it has been abused and misunderstood. Not to say that some of the people in the church didn't know some of these interesting teachings, is just that they used it for power. Because if you really understood the true teachings of it, oh man, you would be mind blown. It's incredible. It's just that, you know, it wasn't made for them, you know, but the metaphors in it is mind blown. It's incredible. If you know the true metamorphical and allegories that is written. Because it's a beautiful system. What happened is it has been misused and it has been abused by the wrong people. You know, because you had to be initiated in order to learn these teachings. But what happened is, you know, they gave it to the wrong people. You know, it was like a story. There was this guy one time. Let me give you just a quick little thing. There was a man, and this guy wrote him a letter. He says, "Hey, why you guys keep secrets? Why you guys always keep secrets?" And he says, "Look, I'm reading a scientific article right now that will answer your question." And he says, it says, if monkey was to learn how to light matches, we wouldn't have any more forests. So you have to be careful who you teach because they abuse it. You see what I'm saying to you?
You know what that reminds you of? I'm going to break it down to you like this. It's as if it's just like a corporation. You have people that learn and put – are placed into power that just because they have the knowledge, they're not good managers and they destroy things because now
exactly.
It's subject to interpretation and how they teach and how they manage. And that's what it sounds like to me. People who should not have been in power were given the power and then it became today, you know?
And you know what's funny? In the words of Jesus, he says, do not cast pearls upon swine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And,
you know, there's a story in Matthew when one of Matthew asks Jesus, you know what he tells him? Because remember, his disciples were his initiates. He initiated them into his Jesus. Right?
Okay.
So these were his 12 disciples, right? So Matthew goes to Jesus, he goes, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Meaning the people who were initiated. And Jesus tells them, "Because the secret of the kingdom of heaven is for you to know, not for them." You see?
I don't understand that. Why would he say that?
So because the one who were initiated understood the parables that he was saying, the stories and allegories within the parables, the secrets within the parables. So he speaks to them, and he speaks to the people who are not initiated in parables, so that because...
Oh, yes. Now I understand.
You see what I'm saying?
He gave them the knowledge, but he didn't give
them,
like, the layout.
Exactly.
He kept the blueprints for his special people, because those are the ones that were going to carry it, the plan
exactly.
They were supposed to go. Now I understand.
Exactly. There's a Chinese story of a cat and a tiger. And the tiger tells the cat, "I want you to teach me all the secrets." And the cat goes, "Okay." So one day, the cat turned back on the tiger. The tiger turned back on the cat. And the cat went up the tree. And that is the secret that the cat didn't teach the tiger.
Oh. Nice. I understand now.
You understand, right?
Yeah. It's the old ways, like when you learn from a ninja, the ninja keeps that one secret for himself, because the day you turn on him, he still has that knowledge how to defeat you. I get it now. That's so interesting.
I'll break it down how religion works real quick by using martial arts as a martial artist, right? And I'm going to teach, I'm going to show you, this right here will break it down how everything works, how everything, even Taino myths, I mean, Taino spirituality, this is how everything works, universal in all spirituality. I'm going to use the concept with martial arts. When I was a kid, I always wanted a teacher to teach me certain secrets. As you're a kid, you always wanted to want to teach you something, someone wise or a person to teach you, a master. So most martial artists don't understand this either. So when they get a black belt, right, now that you're a black belt, right, it's just the last degree, supposedly, which is not. They think, okay, that's it, I know all the secrets. But not knowing that the Japanese word for black belt is shodan, and it means, in Japanese, the beginning, meaning now the work starts. So what I'm saying to you, as an experience, what I've noticed is that for me, learning from teachers, from masters, what I realized was that what I've learned from martial arts in general, from growing into it, and years realizing that the master that I've always been looking for was myself. Not a master or anything. The master that you always been looking for is the person in the mirror. But the work has begun. Now the work is to know yourself now. And that's why the Greeks have the word know thyself, which the word seikan comes from.
I love how Renee, like, pulled this off full circle, how he started it, and he ended it in the exact same fashion. Renee, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you do that.
I know. It's pretty genius, Renee.
So we only have about 9 minutes left in the show, so it worked out so beautifully the way that you ended up putting everything together.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, it's a great subject.
You know, I'm this is what I gotta say though, honestly. You know what really killed this for me, Renee? I'm gonna tell you right now, Renee. You're my boy and I love you. But you ruined it. I was trying to make it scary as hell and Renee had to bring it and make it all nice and cool and sweet. Let's all have some lollipops and be happy now. Don't be scared, children. Cults are not that fast now.
Renee walked in here and said, "Wait, hold up, know thyself, think for yourself, read."
and the thing is, I love it because it's
power. Cut it out.
Yeah, and it's true because one of my pet peeves is that people think that it's supposed to be something scary and very. And I watch all these TV shows and I watch all the. I'm like, what are they talking about? There's nothing like that, you know. So it's like, you know, if a person is not aware of it, they're going to be afraid of it, you know. And you really have to be aware. You have to be aware of it. You know, if you, the true sin is ignorant. You know what I mean? For me, you know what I mean. And it's always about learning. And once you know something about it, it's like, you know, like I said, people fear what they don't understand. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So, you know, it's like if you watch all these. If you look on YouTube and you look on Instagram now, I mean, I know Stephanie's gonna agree. Everybody's gonna agree. You know that. Now everybody is a crystal collector and a medium and an astrologer now and saging now.
Oh my god, it's so bad. I just sent a picture to Drew like 2 weeks ago and it was like psychic life coach, and I stopped in my car driving. And I was like, what the hell is this? Now they're like,
that's okay, marketing. That's genius marketing. That's genius marketing. Listen. I don't mean to, one thing as well. I want to give a shout out to Will. He's been trying to call in. We got a few minutes. I don't know if he can jump in or not. I don't know if Lou's on or not. Lou, if you're on, Will was trying to get in.
Get him in.
Yeah.
Get him in.
Yeah.
No,
I don't
I
even
think
know if Will
connected too.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? All right. I know he's in.
Yeah.
Well, he's out of the.
Lou's not on. He just called back in now.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, he's overseas. He's not around right now. So that explains a lot.
I'm not either, but I'm still here.
Oh, well, I was going to say, well, you know what? Next week, brother, thank you for trying.
Yes.
You know,
little
we
thing.
Had some technical difficulties going on tonight.
Yeah, you got to do a part two.
Yeah, you know what? We should definitely do. We are definitely going to do a part two. Because, Renee, you really
got to make
the
next one
whole...
scary, though, Renee.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? You know what? You know what? I do want to say something. Hold on. I got a few minutes. I want to say something. This is for real. Right, Renee?
Yep.
So, you know what? I don't know if I should talk to you about off air before I say it, you know, publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this because it wasn't too detailed. But the person that was telling – I don't know if you heard the first part of the story about someone that I met that was telling about all this evil stuff that goes on within organizations. He happened to be in the same organization you are in. That's why I didn't want to talk much because I'm not educated enough, you know.
Oh, good.
And I'm not trying to disrespect, you know.
No,
matter of fact,
no,
I want to say this as well. And I want to say this as well. I'm not trying to disrespect any cults or any cultures or even Christianity or even, you know, Catholicism, religion, you know, to me are all welcome. It's none of that. It's,
yeah.
not, it's just a breakdown of
yeah.
education when we have these
yeah.
conversations. I want to make that
yeah.
clear. You know, there's no enemies here. We're open to everyone.
Yeah.
But
I would like
so
to
I didn't,
I,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, there's something called clandestine and regular Mason. And clandestine are the ones that not we don't recognize. Like some of them, they do their own little thing. They make up their own little things.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a great example, right? In Freemasonry, women are not allowed, right? But they have something called Eastern Stars, right? But you got certain Freemasonic groups that have women and men together. I had a friend. They asked her, hey, you want to be a Mason? And she's like, what? He goes, yeah, the initiation is you got to walk naked in the woods. Now, she asked me, what is this? I'm like, I don't know about that. That's something else. That's not, I don't know about that part.
4 minutes. Si no paga, no lo va a pagar.
You know? So that's the thing. Of course, clandestine. You know?
Well,
so,
say it again. I swear I heard Lou in the background. Yeah.
No, that's something called clandestine. That's not something we recognize. That's like... not like, you know, legit. You know what I mean? So a lot of them make
gotcha.
Up their own things.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Renee.
No, go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I think that's a big thing with organizations that don't allow everybody and anybody in their group. They are
mm-hmm.
always going to be discredited in some way, shape, or form because of that secrecy. That it's not even secrecy. It's just honor. You know, there's that honor code that's instilled in the members. So they start to get a little emotional about it, and they make up all of these things that they think are funny, or, you know, they come up with all of these petty ideas to discredit the validity and the value of the group. Because when it comes down to Freemasonry, right, it's a very, very, to an extent. You know, there's a lot of things that are very secretive. And it's because that they're, you know, they're secretive that they've been able to withstand this amount of time through all of the change and still keep that integrity, you know?
Yeah.
So
did you ever heard of something called a Taxu hoax? The Taxu hoax?
Uh-huh.
Taxu was a Taxu hoax. If you ever
next one,
I would suggest to read that up. But this guy supposedly wanted to be a Mason. What happened was, since he didn't, he got kicked out, he started making false things about they were doing devil worshiping. So he was the one that created that. He was the one that created that whole image. He wrote a book about it since the 1920s or something like that, and that's how this whole thing started.
It's called
Taxo Host. And, you know, about the secret thing, it's like, Stephanie, you know, you have, let's say you have a secret ingredient of cooking. And somebody wants to know your ingredient, you're going to be like, no, this is a family tradition. I can't tell you.
Right.
You know? So it's like, really? It's like, nah, you're not in the family. You know, it's a family tradition. You're not part of the family.
Yep.
Yeah, no. So,
that's when people get emotional and they get upset. Their feelings get hurt. So they're just like, oh, well, since I'm not part of the family, que vamos a hacer? Vamos a hacer chinchar. And that's exactly what they do.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, if they're not educated on it, And that's why I always tell people, you know, if you want to know more, just ask. You have to ask a Freemason in order to know much about it.
Yep.
You know, because a lot of people are not really, they don't know the difference. They don't know. I know Freemasons that they left clandestine. They go, oh, I didn't know what the clandestine was.
Yeah.
I had to educate him.
You know what, Lou? I mean, Lou, what I'm going to do is, when we talk, I'm going to tell you the whole story, and I want to hear what you think about it. I don't want to talk about it publicly because, I think it's a conversation that I need to have with you before something like that shared. You know, out of respect for the Masonry and for you, you know. But I'll tell you specifically the conversation I had. And it's interesting because I've had some good friends that are Masons, you know. And like I said, I'm not educated enough. I've heard all the stuff like everyone else has. But it's an interesting group, and I know they do a lot for people as well. So... But yeah, but Renee, we're gonna end the show, right, Scott?
Okay, brother.
Yeah, we got to.
Yeah, we're gonna end the show, and I want to say, Renee, seriously, man, it's mad love. Thank you for definitely calling in and providing us, you know, and educating us on that level. That was great. That was really good knowledge for all of us. Also, I want to just say, anyone out there, you know, please follow my Spooky Lou's Paranormal on Facebook. Follow Unknown New Mexico on Facebook. Will, I want to give a shout-out. Thank you for trying to call us. Sorry, you know, next Monday we'll hop back on. Guys,
back in the States. We got you, I promise.
I'm the only one in the States, and I don't have control of anything, so.
I'll be in New Mexico Thursday, just to let you know, in Albuquerque.
How long?
I'll be there Thursday, and I'm coming back Tuesday.
You know what? I want to see the ride. Maybe I could drive out there. I mean, it's probably a long
drive.
But maybe I could head out there. All right. You know what? We'll talk behind the scenes.
Okay. All right.
We'll set something up. But, yeah, I want to tell everyone thank you very much for listening and being part of the show, Spooky Lou's Paranormal. Love you all. Everyone have a great night. Love you, Steph. You the best. You too, Renee.
Hey,
you're
best.
All right, brother.
You too, Sonic Audio.
All right.
Thanks, Renee, for calling in.
You're welcome.
Have a good night. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.